Sure, my apologies, Mr. Chairman. Just to confirm, this is item of old business, but this is subdivision 2021-06, which is a coastal area cluster subdivision to divide 152.32 acres plus or minus into 315 single family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land, lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County. The property is located on the southwest side of Robinsonville Road, which is Sussex County Route 277, approximately 0.65 miles south of Kendale Road, which is Sussex County Route 287. The tax parcel ID is District 234, Map 6, Parcel 67, and Parcel 84.00. The zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential Zoning District. And the Commission may remember this from the original public hearing where the documents were read into the record. I will not read all of those documents back into the record, and I will let Mr. Robinson summarise.
Yeah, so let me read a quick sort of summary of where we are in the law on these, just for your benefit and as well as the public's. As you all know, this application was previously considered and voted on by the Commission. Prior to that vote, I explained the law in Delaware regarding subdivisions. Then a motion to approve the subdivision was made and seconded, but it was denied by 4 votes against it. That denial was appealed to Sussex County Council by the applicant for several reasons, including the failure to provide reasons for the no votes and because the application complied with the subdivision code. County Council decided that, quote, the matter be remanded to the Commission for further consideration of the entire record, all evidence and facts of this application in open session, to consult with its legal counsel, to take a public vote thereon, and in accordance with 9 Delaware Code Section 6811 and the Commission's Rules of Procedure Section 15.4, to issue a written decision containing the findings and conclusions that are consistent with the law. In light of all that, and for the benefit of not just the Commission but also the public, I want to take the time to reiterate the well-settled law on subdivisions here in Delaware. As I explained prior to the last vote, the Delaware Supreme Court, in the case of Tony Ashburn and Sons versus Kent County Regional Planning Commission, reaffirmed the law as it applies to subdivisions that had been settled in earlier cases. Quote, when people own land for a specific use, they are entitled to rely on the fact that they can implement that use, provided the project complies with all of the specific criteria found in ordinances and subject to reasonable conditions which the Planning Commission may impose in order to minimize any adverse impact on nearby landowners and residents. To hold otherwise would subject a purchaser of land zoned for a specific use to the future whim or caprice of the Commission by clothing it with the ability to impose ad hoc requirements on the use of land not specified anywhere in the ordinances. The result would be the imposition of uncertainty on all landowners respecting whether they can safely rely on the permitted uses conferred on their land under the zoning ordinances, close quote. And the cite to that is Tony Ashburn and Son, Inc. v. Kent County Regional Planning Commission, 962 Atlantic 2nd, 235, Delaware Supreme Court, 2008, and actually cites a prior case, which was DeFrancesco versus Mayor and Town Council of Ellesmere, which was a 2007 decision by the Delaware Superior Court. In the earlier case of Eastlake Partners versus the City of Dover Planning Commission, the Delaware Superior Court held that while the desires of the public in respect to uses are pertinent to the zoning of land when the initial uses for land are established, such evidence is not pertinent to site plan review, except insofar as it is limited to proposed conditions and safeguards to be imposed upon the plan itself, and that the Planning Commission has no power to reject a site plan because the residents do not want the land used for a project that is a permitted use under the applicable zoning regulation. Superior Court also explained that, quote, the Planning Commission may not reject a site plan for permitted use on the grounds that the project will adversely affect the general neighborhood. And again, that was Eastlake Partners versus City of Dover Planning Commission, 655 Atlantic 2nd, 821, and it was a Delaware Superior Court decision of 1994. The Superior Court explained the reason for this in Delta Ada Corporation versus City Council of Newark, where it said that finding otherwise would turn the concept of a planned logical zoning process into one left to political whim that would foster corruption and make the zoning process meaningless. It would also be the imposition of uncertainty on all landowners respecting whether they can safely rely on the permitted uses conferred on their land under the zoning ordinance. And again, that was Delta Ada Corporation versus City Council of Newark. That was a Delaware Superior Court decision of March 2003. In summary, if a subdivision complies, it must be approved. However, these cases have also stated that the commission has the ability to impose reasonable conditions if those conditions are based on factors contained in the record. Unfortunately, but understandably, the public does not generally know about this well-established Delaware law governing subdivisions. The public generally assumes that the commission has total discretion when it comes to subdivisions. Instead, as I explained before, the discretion comes at the time land is rezoned. That sets the rules that must be followed by a subdivision application or for any other use. The same holds true for the zoning code and the subdivision codes. Council, following the commission's recommendations, has the discretion to set the rules in these codes that must be followed. If they are followed, Delaware law says that a subdivision must be approved. Really, it goes beyond subdivisions too. As the court said in Delta Eta and East Lake Partners decisions, such discretion would be the imposition of uncertainty on all landowners respecting whether they can safely rely on the permitted uses conferred on their land under the ordinance. If this rule was not in place, improper discretion could be applied to any number of permitted uses, to deny a business that is otherwise permitted just because the public doesn't want it, or even the right of a homeowner to build a permitted house because the neighbors don't want it. If the zoning code says it's allowed on a person's property, then it must be permitted to occur. A permitted subdivision is no different. Again, as this court stated in the Delta Eta case, if a permitted use, whether it is a permitted subdivision, a permitted home, a permitted business, or even a permitted school, can be denied on an ad hoc basis because of public opposition, quote, the zoning process would be meaningless, close quote. So again, in summary, under well-established Delaware law, if a subdivision satisfies the requirements of the zoning code and the subdivision code, then it must be approved, again, subject to reasonable conditions. I would also like to clarify one aspect of the design standard that applies to this subdivision, which is in the coastal area according to Sussex County's future land use map. The application for the subdivision was filed with Sussex County on November 20, 2020. At that time, the superior design requirements of Section 115-25 of the Zoning Code did not apply to cluster subdivisions in the coastal area. Ordinance number 2764 was adopted on February 2, 2021, making the superior design standards apply to all new cluster subdivisions in the coastal area after that date. Since Coral Lakes predated that code amendment, the superior design requirements of Section 115-25 do not apply to it. So based upon the law that I have described, I'd now ask Mr. Whitehouse to confirm for the record whether subdivision 2021-06 for Coral Lakes complies with the subdivision and zoning code.
And it does, Mr. Chairman. The bulk area, open space, density, and buffer requirements within Chapter 115 are complied with, and the design requirements in Chapter 99 are also met.
So with that, unless there's any discussion, I have a motion ready to read.
So if I understand what you're saying basically County Council makes the rules and planning and zoning has got to follow those rules.
Right. You know, we've heard different attorneys, and I agree with it. You know, just tell me what the rules are, you know. So if Council makes the rules, which is the zoning code and the subdivision code, then if, you know, an application, whether it's a subdivision or, you know, or whatever, if it complies with it, then it's a permitted use and it needs to be approved. So. I said that before in the statement that, you know, people want to get involved in the process, and this is sort of the part that the public doesn't necessarily understand. At the time that there's a subdivision hearing, you know, that's almost too late in the process. The time to get involved is when we do the comp plan every 10 years, because that sort of big picture sets the themes and goals we want to do, and then get involved with, you know, change to the code, whether that's the zoning code or the subdivision code in that process, because that's what sets the rules. The subdivision just applies those rules to an application that's before us.
And when we all, some of us worked on the comp plan back 4 or 5 years ago, we put a lot of work, a lot of effort into that, but we were not allowed to pick the consultant that for whom was supposed to be working for us. County Council picked the consultant, and the consultant pretty much answered to County Council. And in spite of all the work that we did to change zoning, County Council pretty much cut out the work that we did.
I don't know that I'd agree with that, Mr. Hopkins, having lived through that comp plan process, because we had, I think, a year and a half of hearings where information was received, and, you know, the consultant was involved in gathering that information, and, you know, I do think that I mean, I'm not going to say all of it, but a good portion of that made it into the comp plan. I haven't lived through that process, but.
But they did cut out and change some of the work that we did. Is that right?
I wouldn't say that they cut out anything that I recall. You know, there was, I mean, certainly.
But you agree.
We have a process.
Yeah, we have a major deficient amount of inventory that's not AR. Pretty much all of our inventory is AR.
Okay, guys, we're getting a little far afield.
Yeah, that doesn't really have to do with correlates.
At the matter at hand, let's deal with this this ordinance.
I think there's, but I do think that there's a misconception out there regarding the comp plan and that planning and zoning could have done a better job. But the reality of it is, planning and zoning, we spent a lot of time and a lot of effort on the comp plan.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
Sure did.
Yeah, no, that's for sure.
We absolutely did.
Yeah. So with that, if you'd like, I can go ahead and read the motion. It is going to repeat some of what I just said because it needs to be in the record. But the motion for whoever wants to make it is that the commission grant preliminary approval of subdivision 2021-06 for Coral Lakes with conditions and limitations based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this application was previously considered by the commission. Although a motion to approve the subdivision was made and seconded, it was denied by a vote of one member in favor and four members against it. That denial was appealed for several reasons, including the failure to provide reasons for the no votes and because the application complied with the subdivision code. Following the appeal hearing that occurred before Sussex County Council pursuant to section 99-39 of the Sussex County Code, County Council decided that, quote, the matter be remanded to the Commission for further consideration of the entire record, all evidence and facts of this application in open session to consult with its legal counsel, take a public vote thereon, and in accordance with 9 Delaware Code section 6811 and the Commission's Rules of Procedure section 14.4 to issue a written decision containing the findings and conclusions that are consistent with the law. As our attorney has advised, subdivisions like this one's are governed by the subdivision and zoning codes, Delaware law, and the Delaware courts mandate that if a subdivision meets the requirements of the subdivision and zoning codes, then it is permitted. For example, in the case of Tony Ashford and Son, Inc. versus Kent County Regional Planning Commission, the Delaware Supreme Court held that when people own land zoned for a specific use, they are entitled to rely on the fact that they can implement that use, provided the project complies with all the specific criteria found in ordinances and subject to reasonable conditions which the Planning Commission may impose in order to minimize any adverse impact on nearby landowners and residents. To hold otherwise would subject a purchaser of land zoned for specific use to the future whim or caprice of the Commission by clothing it with the ability to impose ad hoc requirements on the use of land not specified anywhere in the ordinances. The results would be the imposition of uncertainty on all landowners respecting whether they can safely rely on the permitted uses conferred on their land under the zoning ordinances. And I'm going to skip the citation to the Ashburn case. B, in the case of Eastlake Partners v. City of Dover Planning Commission, the Delaware Superior Court held that, quote, while the desires of the public in respect to uses are pertinent to the zoning of land when the initial uses for land are established, such evidence is not pertinent to site plan review, except insofar as it is limited to proposed conditions and safeguards to be imposed upon the plan itself, close quote, and that, quote, the Planning Commission has no power to reject a site plan because the residents do not want the land used for a project that is a permitted use under the applicable zoning regulations, close quote. The Superior Court also explained that, quote, the Planning Commission may not reject a site plan for a permitted use on the grounds that the project will adversely affect the general neighborhood, close quote, and again, I'll omit that citation. In the case of Delta Eta Corp versus City Council of Newark, this is all summarized by the Delaware Superior Court when it stated that the result of allowing the denial of a compliant subdivision would be the imposition of uncertainty on all landowners respecting whether they can safely rely on the permitted uses conferred on their land under the zoning ordinance. Again, I'll skip that citation to Delta Eta. Three, for the reasons stated in this motion, with the exception of the bonus density lots, this application complies with the subdivision and zoning code. Therefore, preliminary approval must be granted in part. Four, this application was filed on November 20, 2020, ordinance number 2764 that incorporated the superior design requirements into subdivisions in the coastal area was adopted on February 2, 2021 after the subdivision was submitted to Sussex County. Therefore, the superior design requirements of section 115-25 of the Sussex County Code do not apply to the subdivision. Five, the applicant is seeking approval of a clustered subdivision of 315 lots within the AR1 zoning district and the coastal area. This includes 11 bonus density lots that may be approved under section 115-25B3. Six, there was evidence in the record that there are jurisdictional wetlands on the property, and the property does contain some ground that is regularly wet. This is supported by the soil information in the record provided by DENREC. While the zoning code does not prohibit the development of wooded areas, it also does not mandate the approval of bonus density lots that will cause the removal of additional forest. It is illogical to approve bonus density lots that remove forested areas here and receive money to preserve open space somewhere else. Elimination of these 11 bonus density lots would provide further protection for the jurisdictional wetlands and preserve more woodlands within this subdivision. Seven, the proposed subdivision without any bonus density lots will have no more than 304 lots on 152.34 acres. Eight, with the elimination of the bonus density lots and subject to the conditions imposed by this preliminary approval, the project complies with the subdivision and zoning codes. The subdivision will satisfy the permitted density within the AR1 zone. Nine, the proposed development will comply with all DLDOT roadway entrance requirements. It will be part of the Henlopen Transportation Improvement District. 10, the proposed subdivision meets the purpose and standards of the subdivision code. 11, section 99-9C of the subdivision code requires the commission to consider 17 different items relating to the site plan. While the applicant has addressed the requirements of section 99-9C of this code, there are conditions of this approval that are based upon those 17 items. 12, the subdivision proposes to contain approximately 75 acres of open space, and more than 30% of this will be contiguous open space. 13, the project will be served by central water and sewer. 14, the location is in the coastal area according to the current Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. The proposed subdivision is permissible in this area according to the plan. 15, the subdivision preserves a substantial amount of open space, and there are buffers along its perimeter that will include the preservation of trees and other vegetation within the buffer area. And 16, this preliminary approval is subject to the following. A, there shall be no more than 304 lots within the subdivision. The 11 bonus density lots are denied. B, the area where lots 182 through 186 and the Waverly Lane cul-de-sac are located on the preliminary site plan shall remain undisturbed. This area is adjacent to the jurisdictional wetlands, and this will preserve the existing forest in that location. Lots 1 through 5 and lot 57 shall be eliminated to provide a greater separation between the subdivision lots and Robinsonville Road. No lots shall contain any federal or state wetlands. All federal or state wetland lines shall be clearly shown on the final site plan. The final site plan shall confirm that at least 30%, more or less, after we went through that exercise, of the site's open space is on one contiguous tract of land. D, the developer shall establish a homeowners association responsible for the maintenance of streets, road buffers, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. E, the stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. F, there shall be a vegetated or forested buffer that is at least 30 feet wide installed along the perimeter of the subdivision. This buffer shall utilize existing forest or similar vegetation that exists in the buffer area. Where trees currently exist in the buffer area, stump removal or construction activities that disturb the existing grade of the area within the buffer shall be prohibited. All silt fencing shall be located along the interior limit of the buffer area, parentheses, the edge of the buffer nearest the interior development, close parentheses, and the final site plan shall identify the limit of disturbance to prevent disturbance of the buffer area. G, there shall be a buffer that is at least 25 feet wide from all non-tidal wetlands. There shall be minimum disturbance of trees and other vegetation within these buffer areas. Where trees currently exist in these buffer areas, stump removal or construction activities that disturb the existing grade of the area within the buffer area shall be prohibited. Required silt fencing shall be installed upland of these buffer areas, again using the edge of the buffer nearest the interior development, to avoid disturbance. The limits of disturbance shall be indicated on the final site plan. H, the development shall comply with all DLDOT entrance and roadway improvement requirements. The development shall also comply with the payment of all required fees associated with the Henlopen Transportation Improvement District. I, sidewalks and walkways shall be installed as shown on the preliminary site plan with a connection to the DLDOT multimodal path. A street lighting system that provides lighting in a downward direction with minimal uplighting shall be provided. No lights shall be installed along Waverly Drive, Summer Breeze Lane, Coral Lakes Drive and Pine Grove Lane nearest Aintree Drive in the adjacent development to mitigate glare into that development. J, amenities including a pool and clubhouse shall be constructed and open to use by the residents of this development on or before the issuance of the 200th residential building permit. The final site plan shall contain details as to the size and location of these amenities. K, the subdivision shall be served by a publicly regulated central water system providing drinking water and fire protection. L, street design shall meet or exceed Sussex County standards. M, road naming and addressing shall be subject to review and approval of Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. N, construction, site work, and delivery shall only occur on the site between the hours of 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and 7 a.m. through 2 p.m. on Saturdays. No Sunday hours are permitted. A 24-inch by 36-inch notice sign confirming these hours in English and in Spanish shall be prominently displayed at the site entrance during construction. O, the applicant shall coordinate with the local school district regarding the location of a school bus stop within the subdivision. If required by the school district, the location of the bus stop area shall be shown on the final site plan. P, the final site plan and recorded restrictive covenants shall state that agricultural activities exist nearby and then shall include the agricultural use protection notice. Both of these documents shall include a similar notice that, one, the site is adjacent to an airfield and that active. Let me read that again. One, the site is adjacent to an airfield and the activities and noise that may occur there, and two, that hunting activities may also occur on nearby properties. Q, the final site plan shall include a landscape plan depicting all landscape to be provided or preserved in all the buffer areas. The landscape plan shall also clearly show all forested areas that will be preserved. The landscape plan shall also identify all limits of disturbance within the site. R, if any grave sites are found within this development, the applicant shall immediately notify the Delaware State Historic Preservation Office and follow the requirements of that office. S, the final site plan shall include a grading plan for the site. No building permit shall be issued for individual lots until an individual lot grading plan has been supplied to and approved by Sussex County. No certificate of occupancy shall be issued until a grading certificate is submitted to the Building Code Department demonstrating general conformity with the individual site grading plan. T, a revised preliminary site plan either depicting or noting these conditions must be submitted to the Office of Planning and Zoning. And finally, U, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
So moved.
I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2021-06 Coral Lakes, formerly known as Coral Crossing, for the reasons and with the conditions stated in the motion. Mr. Hopkins, how do you vote?
I vote no.
Okay. Ms. Stevenson?
Just to say, we have to give reasons.
I'm voting no regarding the motion, the way it was written. If you'd like for me to prepare a motion in opposition.
You simply have to state on the record the reasons why you're making your no vote. That goes for everybody, you know, yes, no, or a no vote.
Mine's no.
What's wrong with it that you're voting no? Just give a reason.
One of my reasons is I think it's just I have issues with the wetlands area.
Okay, that's all I see.
I'm not voting because I was told our council said was that we can't deny it. And the reasons is that I'm not opposed to this property being developed, even at the proposed density, but I do have serious concerns with this site plan. Testimony and photos presented during the public hearing showed the wet, swampy area of this tract that is marked as a non-tidal wetland. The Office of State Planning and the PLUS Review said, in addition, as noted in the DENREC comments below, the newest project application proposes to disturb fill upwards to 25 acres of non-tidal wetlands. Only 5 acres of non-jurisdictional wetlands under the new ruling will remain, with no wetland permitting or wetland mitigation required. Regardless of new federal permitting standards, these non-tidal wetlands provide significant flood attenuation, water quality benefits, and habitat for plant and animal species. Filling these wetland areas, then building homes and infrastructure upon them, will directly result in adverse drainage and flooding impacts for future residents. DENREC also commented that poorly drained soils, hydrologic soil group CD, have been identified across much of the site. These soil types are typically not conducive to utilizing infiltration stormwater. Best management practices such as bioretention and infiltration basins which must meet minimum infiltration requirements. Further, DENREC recommended for improved stormwater management, preserve existing trees, wetlands, and passive open space. DENREC's overall recommendation was to revert to the 2019 plan for this property. Although the senior landscape designer for GMB countered that the wetlands were determined to be isolated with no connection to navigable waters of the U.S., as a lifelong resident of Sussex County, one who has lost a shoe or two when stepping into one of these swamps and sinking up to my knee, I agree with the DENREC assessment. In addition, the developer has not taken the local private airstrip into consideration in their design. By doing so, they might be setting up future residents for unsafe conditions and certainly for nuisance sound. In previous applications for the adjacent property, the design was altered at the request of the Planning Commission to take flight patterns into consideration. This plan is a perfect example of the failure of our county ordinances, not because they do not stop the development, but because they do not provide the flexibility to leave a swamp alone and still build to permitted density. As part of this vote, I again ask the council to consider starting a group to update our ordinances. And although I'm not allowed to add traffic and impact on schools, fires, and ambulance services into my decision, I do live here. So my vote is not voting.
Okay. Ms. Wingate?
Mr. Chair, I am a yes for the because of the extensive explanation by council and the conditions imposed.
Okay. Mears?
Mr. Chairman, I voted against this application because of the trees, the wetlands, the flooding, etc. Unfortunately, as council explained, it complies with the subdivision and zoning code. Therefore, I vote yes based on the reasons in the motion.
Okay. And the chair votes yes for the reasons stated in the motion and for the simple fact that we simply have to honor the rule of law as it's written. And with that, the motion carries 3-2. Thank you.
No, I think it was, Mr. Just for the record, it was three, one, and one
not voting.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay. Very good. All right. Our next item is conditional use number 2295, Bones and Sons Heating and Air.
Mr. Chairman, I move we recommend approval of conditional use 2295 for Bonds and Sons Heating and Air for an HVAC repair business with outdoor storage of heating and cooling equipment on land zone AR1 based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the applicant operates an HVAC repair business on the site. It evolved from a home occupation to the point where a conditional use is now required. This conditional use will bring the use into compliance with the zoning code. Two, as part of the HVAC repair business, the applicant keeps damaged, replaced, and worn out HVAC equipment on the site to recycle the various metals parts contained in them. Three, the use will not have an adverse impact upon neighboring properties or area roadways. Four, traffic generated by the proposed use will be minimal and will not have a negative impact on the neighboring properties or roadways. Five, the use is of a public or semi-public character that is desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the area and the county. Six, the applicant has stated that they will reside at the property and will continue to do so as part of this conditional use. Seven, no parties appeared in opposition to this application. Eight, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the property shall be used for an HVAC repair business in addition to the applicant's residence. As part of that business, the temporary storage of used HVAC equipment shall be allowed so that it can be recycled. B, there shall be no retail sales of HVAC equipment from the property. C, the site shall not be permitted to become a junkyard, which requires separate zoning and other approvals. The used HVAC equipment shall be kept within the fenced and screened area, and none of it shall be permanently stored. The applicant shall only store HVAC equipment it obtains as part of its repair and installation business. No HVAC equipment shall be brought to the site by other contractors, businesses, or individuals other than the applicant and its employees. D, no more than 1,600 square feet on the site shall be set aside for this temporary storage area. This area shall be shown on the final site plan. E, any outdoor lighting on the site shall be downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. F, any dumpsters on the site shall be screened from view of neighboring properties and roadways. The dumpster location shall be shown on the final site plan. G, the applicant shall comply with any DLDOT requirements for entrance and roadway improvements. H, any violation of these conditions of approval may result in the termination of this conditional use. I, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. Mr. Chairman, that's my motion.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2295, Bones and Sons Heating and Air, for the reasons and with the stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor,
nope.
Say
aye. No.
Oh, I'm sorry, call the roll. Yeah, should have learned that by now. Mr. Hopkins, how do you vote?
I vote yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
Okay, Ms. Hoy Stevenson.
Yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
And Ms. Wingate.
Yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
Mr. Mears.
Yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
And the chairman votes yes for the reasons and stipulations stated in the motion. Okay, thank you. The motion carries 5-0. Our next item is conditional use number 2296, Michael Milligan.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of conditional use 2296 for Michael Milligan for a towing business based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, although characterized as a towing business, the applicant operates an impound yard on this property. As a result, it does not generate customer traffic in the way that a typical towing operation would. Cars are brought in, stored for a short time, and then hauled out. No maintenance or repairs occur on site. Two, the towing business is small, and with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it, it will not have an adverse impact on the neighboring properties or nearby roadways. Three, the applicant resides on the property, and the impound yard is screened from view. The applicant intends to keep this primarily residential appearance. Four, the use is a towing business. An impound yard is of a public or semi-public character, and it is a service that is relied upon by banks, finance companies, and other businesses that require the towing and impounding of vehicles. Five, no parties appeared in opposition to this application. Six, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, the applicant has stated that no sign is required or needed. B, security lighting shall be downward screened and shall be directed away from neighboring properties and roadways. C, any dumpsters shall be screened from view of neighbors and roadways. The dumpsters location shall be shown on the final site plan. D, no repairs shall be performed on the site. E, no junked, unregistered, or permanently inoperable vehicles or trailers shall be stored on the site. F, there shall not be anything in the front yard setback. G, the impound and parking areas shall be shown on the final site plan and marked on the site itself. Vehicles shall only be parked within these designated areas. H, the perimeter of the impound area shall be screened from view of neighboring properties with a fence or vegetation. This screening shall be shown on the final site plan. I, no cars shall be sold from the property. J, any violation of these conditions may be grounds for termination of this conditional use. K, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Mr. Chairman, that's my motion.
I second it.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2296, Michael Milligan, for the reasons and with the stipulations stated in the motion. Mr. Hopkins, how do you vote?
I vote yes
for the
reasons stated in the motion that I just read.
Fair enough.
What I said.
Yeah. That's what I said.
Yeah. I vote yes for the reasons Mr. Hopkins said.
Okay.
I'm a yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
Okay. Mr. Mears?
I vote yes for the reasons, conditions, and stipulations stated in the motion.
And the chair votes yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion. And the motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Our next item is change of zone number 1958, Boardwalk Development, LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of change of zone 1958 for Boardwalk Development LLC for a change in zoning from GR General Residential to a GR RPC based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the property is currently zoned GR. This would simply apply the RPC zoning overlay to the plan. Two, GR RPC zoning is also consistent with the adjoining Dogwood Lane development, which has a density of 9.32 units per acre. Three, the county engineering department has indicated that adequate wastewater capacity is available for the project as a GR RPC. Central water will also be provided. Four, with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it, the RPC designation is appropriate since it allows the creation of a superior environment through design ingenuity while protecting existing and future uses. This project will maintain 43% open space, which includes 6.5 acres of existing forest. It also includes large wooded buffers on both sides of the site. There will also be amenities along the water available to the entire community. Five, the project will not adversely affect the neighborhood or surrounding community. There are existing developments in the immediate area with similar characteristics. This is basically infill development with a density similar to what exists in the immediate area. Six, the proposed development will have a density of 2.54 units per acre, which is less than the 2.67 units per acre to the north and the 9.32 units per acre to the south. Seven, according to the county's current comprehensive plan, the project is in a developing area. Eight, the applicant has favorably addressed the item set forth in section 99-9C of the subdivision code. Nine, no parties appeared in opposition to the application. 10. This recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A. The maximum number of lots shall not exceed 54 single-family lots. B. A homeowners association shall be formed to provide for the perpetual maintenance, repair, and replacement of buffers, stormwater management facilities, street amenities, and other common areas. C. All entrances, intersections, interconnections, roadways, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed in accordance with DLDOT's requirements. D. The RPC shall be served as part of a Sussex County Sanitary Sewer District. The developer shall comply with all requirements and specifications of the County Engineering Department. E. The RPC shall be served by Central Water. F. The stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. G, interior street design shall meet or exceed Sussex County street design requirements. There shall also be sidewalks on both sides of all streets within the RPC. H, no wetlands shall be included within any individual lots. Any wetland buffers required by section 115-93B shall be shown on the final site plan. There shall be minimum disturbance of trees and other vegetation within these buffer areas. Required silt fencing shall be installed upland of these buffer areas using the edge of the buffer nearest the interior development to avoid disturbance. Construction activities within the buffer area shall be minimum. Any disturbance in the buffer area shall be indicated on the final site plan. And the limits of disturbance shall be indicated on the final site plan. I, as stated by the applicant in the previously approved RPC for this property that was the same as this application, all amenities shall be completed prior to the issuance of the 27th building permit. J, a 20-foot wide vegetated buffer shall be established along the perimeter of the site. The buffer shall utilize existing forest or similar vegetation that exists in the buffer area. Where trees currently exist in the buffer area, stump removal or construction activities that disturb the existing grade of the area within the buffer shall be prohibited. All silt fencing shall be located along the interior limit of the buffer area, the edge of the buffer nearest the interior development, and the final site plan shall identify the limit of disturbance to prevent disturbance of the buffer area. K. If requested by the local school district, a school bus stop shall be provided. The location of the bus stop area shall be shown on the final site plan. L. Road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of Sussex County Geographic Information Office. M. The final site plan shall include a landscape plan depicting all landscaping to be provided or preserved in all the buffer areas. The landscape plan shall also clearly show all forested areas that will be preserved. The landscape plan shall also identify all limits of disturbance within the site. N. Final site plan shall include a grading plan for the site. No building permit shall be issued for the individual lots until an individual lot grading plan has been supplied and approved by Sussex County. No certificate of occupancy shall be issued until a lot grading certificate is submitted to the building code department demonstrating general conformity with the individual site grading plan. O, construction site work and deliveries shall only occur on the site between the hours of 7 a.m. through 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. No Sunday hours are permitted. A 24-inch by 36-inch notice shall sign confirming these hours in English and Spanish shall be prominently displayed at the site entrance during construction. P, a revised preliminary site plan, either depicting or noting these conditions, must be submitted to the Office of Planning and Zoning. Q, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning Commission. That's it.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of change of zone number 1958, Boardwalk Development LLC, for the reasons and with the conditions stated in the motion. Let's call the roll. Mr. Hopkins.
Yes, for the reasons stated in the motion.
Ms. Zoe Stevenson.
Yes, for the reasons in the motion.
Okay.
Yes, for the reasons stated in the motion.
Mr. Mears?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
And the chair votes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion. The motion carries 5-0. Thank you. All right, ladies and